This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Gary Allure. Gary is the president of Mercy Health in Muskegon. Muskegon's one of the great Western Michigan communities, wonderful community. Gary, can you take a moment to introduce yourself? Then we'll talk to you about the health system. We'll talk to you about priorities and a lot more.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Scott. Thank you, and thank you for inviting me this afternoon. Looking forward to this. My name is Gary Allure. I have the pleasure of serving as the president for Mercy Health in Muskegon. I've been with Mercy Health in Muskegon for the last 15 years, and I've been in the president role now for about the last 3 years. A native of Muskegon, so I'm very proud to work in this organization that's the largest organization in our community.
Well, fantastic, and a great community. And talk a little bit about your career journey. I know at one point early on in your career, you came up through the finance ranks, were an accountant back in the day. Talk a little bit about your career and leadership journey and so forth.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Scott. So yeah, I went to Albion College, got my degree there, and I started out working in public accounting for a few years. And then I transitioned over to healthcare in the late 80s. And worked as the controller of one of the hospitals in the Muskegon community. Did that for about 9 years. And then the chief financial officer job at Gerber Hospital, which is also a West Michigan hospital, came available. And I moved into that role for about 8 years. Came back to Muskegon as the chief financial officer for Mercy Health Muskegon. I did that for about 6 years. And then I ended up as the regional CFO. So I work with both St. Mary's in Grand Rapids and Mercy Muskegon in Muskegon as the regional CFO for about 4 years. And then, as I mentioned, about 3 years ago, the previous president here, Greg Loomis, retired, and the position opened for a new president of Muskegon, and it just worked out well, and it's been a great opportunity for me. So I've been in healthcare administration and finance for over 30 years now.
And how exciting was it after 25, 30 years in healthcare to, you know, take over the role as CEO or president? How exciting was that? Was that an exciting moment after a career in doing magnificent things as CFO on the financial side and leadership side?
Yes, it was. It was a great opportunity for me, and really, I had built many relationships in the organization and especially in the community. So to be in this role in the community I grew up in has just been unbelievable. So it's been a great 3 years. I've enjoyed the role, and we've gone through a lot in the last 3 years. So it's been fun to work with a team and build a new team for Mercy Health Muskegon.
And take a moment and talk about a few points of pride in Mercy Health Muskegon. Like, when you wake up in the morning, you think about these are the things that are going great. What do you point to? What are you most excited about?
Well, I would say the colleagues and medical staff are what makes us tick every day. Being part of Trinity Health, our mission of being a compassionate, healing presence for our community, I think that is very much alive and well in Muskegon. So I think a big pride point for me is that Mercy Health Muskegon is the culmination of what used to be three independent, smaller hospitals and a lot of tradition. There was a Muskegon General Hospital, which was an osteopathic hospital. There was Hackley Hospital, which was founded by Charles Hackley in 1904 with a significant donation. And if you've been in Muskegon, the Hackley name is all over the community. And then the Sisters of Mercy started Mercy Health or Mercy Hospital back in 1903, started by Catherine McCauley and the Sisters of Mercy. So the traditions of all three of those legacy organizations have finally come together. And you're actually talking to me 2 weeks after we finally moved into our new medical center. So we've had three smaller campuses over the years in Muskegon, and now we've finally moved, and culmination of the combination of the organizations and the mergers we've seen the last 20 years into one brand new state-of-the-art beautiful facility in Muskegon. So that's a huge pride point for me, but it's a huge pride point for this community and especially for our colleagues. It is a state-of-the-art facility that really matches the care that we've been providing for 116 years in this community.
That's fantastic. And how exciting is it to see those organizations come together, and how important is that to maintain strength for the long run and the ability to provide the care you need to provide and want to provide?
It is huge for the long-term success and stability of the organization. We had a pretty significant amount of square footage for acute care in this community, and coming together in the new medical center really allows us to right-size the number of beds we need in this community. Our new tower has about 331 beds. So we've actually consolidated slightly our inpatient footprint based upon kind of the direction healthcare is going. So we're making that investment to get more efficient on the inpatient side and continue to grow our ambulatory network across the community, which we've been doing. We've been doing some significant ambulatory investments in the community as well.
And Gary, talked a lot about points of pride in the system, your career. Talk about what looks like the top three priorities the next 6 to 12 months for the system.
Well, the one priority is just to actually get back to a good, stable, foundational place financially. So during COVID, like virtually every hospital in the country, we had a big downturn in volume because we weren't doing elective surgeries and we were trying to do our best to keep our community safe. So we're back on the right foot, and we've had an operating margin the last few months, so we're moving in a great direction, but just making sure that we stabilize financially. And then a significant thing for us is really just getting ourselves into our new facilities and really getting the efficiencies and the colleague and physician engagement in this new facility. So we have, with this consolidation that we just did, there's about 1,000 people that are coming from a different place and moving into the new facility. So new workflows, new process, but a beautiful facility to do it in. So really just stabilizing into this new facility in a huge focus on colleague, patient, and physician experience. We now have the facilities to really knock it out of the park in Muskegon, and we're going to really focus on the state-of-the-art care to go with the facilities that we have. And then I would say the other big pride point and the other big investment is at the same time we built a new medical center, we also have constructed two ambulatory centers in Muskegon, one that was opened about 2 years ago and one that's going to open in January, that really gives us two nice ambulatory hubs in the community to support the north and southern part of our community and really connect to our medical center. So Muskegon as a community has been growing pretty significantly, and we feel like as the largest employer, we're kind of foundational to that, and we're kind of growing with the community also.
Does Muskegon still have the ferry that crosses Lake Michigan to Illinois or to Wisconsin?
Yes, we do. It's called the Lake Express. I watched it go by last night for the last time. It closes in October. It closed October 25th this year, opens up in the spring. But yes, it goes back and forth to Milwaukee three times a day.
Gotcha. And that avoids it closing down, avoids the bringing back the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and allows us to keep safe and only operate in the at least seasonal months.
Yes, there was a light crowd on the boat as I saw it go by yesterday. So it's getting a little chilly out there. So, yeah.
I bet. It's got to be really cold at this point of year, but just magnificent. And talk about, you've had a great leadership career grounded originally in the financial area and so forth. Talk about what advice you would give to emerging leaders or leaders of health systems. What would you tell someone who wants to be a CEO one day or wants to be just a great leader, not to be a CEO, wants to be a great leader?
Well, I guess I would say if you really desire to be a great leader, first and foremost, I believe it's all about relationships. So I think the ability to connect with people and build relationships, it's easy to get results in a short period of time, but if you want to have long-term success, I think it's all about getting results through people, and you don't get results through people unless you've got a great relationship. So I would say, I would just encourage people to really be a great teammate. If you're a great teammate, you have a lot better chance of being a great leader someday. So I would say that, I think you have to be hungry and be willing to work hard. I remember a quote from, I think it was Lou Holtz. He had a quote that said, "I just know that the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I think that's very true. I think if you work hard, if you're very prepared, you're going to put yourself in good position. And I think you have a lot better opportunity to have a lot of success. And then I think the other thing is to be a smart leader. And I think a smart leader, not necessarily being book smart, but really from an emotional intelligence perspective, really understand how you're impacting situations, how you impact other people, and just understand how to get the most out of others. And really, the one thing that we've been doing a lot of work on at Mercy Health and throughout Trinity Health, we call it the Trinity Health Leadership System, but it's basically really comes from process excellence and process improvement, but listening to people closest to the work. I think oftentimes leaders think they know everything, and I think the real answers are the closest place to where the work's actually done. If you can really listen to people that are doing the work, they tend to have a lot better ideas sometimes than leaders. So I think I've learned a lot from that perspective. Just we've got a lot of smart people that work in healthcare, and they have a lot of answers if we're willing to listen to them.
But your point, and I always thought of it this way, the person at the top, they have to be very connected all the way throughout the organization, because once they get 1, 2, 3, 4 levels above the people that are actually doing what has to be done, most of them start to really lose that connectivity and really understand the whole connection, don't they? So really talking to people at every level, being very connected, those that actually provide care, those that actually do everything, it's so important to staying grounded yourself as a leader, isn't it?
It sure is. And I worked in a different role for a number of years, as we talked about. And I think I knew going into this role how important it is to really set the tone and set an example for the organization. People really do look at their leaders. And I think the more that we can be out in the organization visibly, in the community visibly, so people can connect the leaders of an organization to the senior leadership team and really see that they want to be in the organization, listening to frontline folks doing the work. I think that's a huge part of successful leadership. And it's a huge part of any team.
Fantastic. And talk for a moment, the importance of communication skills and a positive mental attitude. Any thoughts on those?
Well, I really think that if, as I kind of talked about a little bit with relationships, but I think to be a leader for a long period of time, you need to very much have a positive can-do spirit. I think the spirit of the leader is generally speaking in the organization. That's right. They always talk about the shadow or the shadow of a leader or the cloud of a leader. And I think how the organization goes a lot of times is a clear connection to the how the leader leads the organization. So I think being a positive leader and trying to do the best you can communicating, I have certainly found that in this role. And with all the change that we've been going through in Muskegon the last few years, it's just how important it is to communicate as many times as you can on the same topic. You hear the example a lot of times that you have to communicate something 7 times before it really gets a spread in the organization. And I have seen that loud and clear in a lot of examples where we thought we were communicating very favorably, very positively, and it just doesn't get to everyone in the organization. Even if you think you're communicating something like too many times, it's usually not too many times. So,
Well, in the world is such an information overload that you have to assume until you say something X number of times, nobody really gets it because their minds are in a million different places. They can't help it. They're not tuned to, oh my God, I'm waiting every moment for your words. Rather, they're busy with so many other things that they got to hear it enough times till it seeps through. Oh yeah, Gary actually thinks this is important. We view this as a real priority and so forth.
Yeah, well, and you have the other thing is that we have in healthcare, we have, as an example, nurses that have been here 40 years that are at the end of their career and nurses just getting out of college. And the way someone gets their communication is very different based on where you are in your life too. So understanding how to communicate through social media, how to communicate through written communication, verbal communication, but different parts of your careers, you work with different people, and how they listen is important to know too. So that's something that we always are learning.
Well, fantastic. Gary, great pleasure to visit with you today. It's wonderful to hear your enthusiasm for what you're doing and for the Mercy Health Muskegon system. Just magnificent. Thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today. What a pleasure.
I appreciate you having me, Scott. And yes, it's been nice talking to you today, too. Thank you so much.